Hello, everyone. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. A new week can bring new opportunities. So let's fuel our minds with our quick hit in 10 minutes of news. Never know what we might learn that'll help us make the difference in this world. Can you believe there are only 3 Mondays left this year? Before we know it, it'll be the year 2025. Today we start with some difficult news for TikTok, which is now one step closer to being banned in the United States. A U.S. appeal court upheld a law that says the app and its parent company ByteDance must sell the platform to a new non-Chinese owner or face an outright ban in the states. President Joe Biden signed that bill into law in April after years of concern on Capitol Hill that ByteDance poses a national security risk. Through the TikTok app, ByteDance collects tons of user data that lawmakers worry could be shared with the Chinese government for surveillance. ByteDance has previously indicated it will not sell TikTok, and it sued to block the law shortly after. They argued the law infringed on the free speech of its more than 170 million American users and unfairly singled out the platform. But in upholding the law, the U.S. appeals court found that it does not violate the Constitution's First Amendment right to free speech for TikTok users or the Fifth Amendment guarantee of equal protection of the law. So now, unless the platform can convince Chinese parent company ByteDance to sell and find a buyer by the January 19th deadline, U.S. app stores and internet services could face hefty fines for hosting TikTok. There's no indication that President Biden will use a one-time extension of the deadline allowed by the law. And in the meantime, much hangs in the balance for millions of U.S. TikTok users, some of whom rely on the app for their livelihoods. Next, we're covering a comeback that some might call miraculous. Just over 5 years after it was nearly destroyed in a devastating fire, the famous cathedral, Notre Dame in Paris, formally reopened over the weekend. It took a Herculean effort by thousands of workers and an estimated 700 million euros to restore the cherished UNESCO World Heritage Site. Hundreds were in attendance for a 2-hour ceremony inside the famed cathedral, including a who's who of global leaders and dignitaries. CNN's Melissa Bell gives us a look at the celebration for the history books.
For the first time in more than 5 years, the bells ring out at Notre Dame. The cathedral officially reopened. The pomp and circumstance celebrating the restored monument, an impressive backdrop to Donald Trump's return to the world stage as president-elect. A symbolic knock on the door by the Archbishop of Paris, the cathedral awakens and resounds with a hymn of praise and then applause for the firefighters who risked their lives to save what they could. A devastating fire damaged the Paris landmark in April 2019. A global audience watched in horror as the famous spire toppled. The historic reopening bringing together some 50 heads of state, including Trump, who met with President Macron at the Élysée Palace before the ceremony began.
It's a great honor for French people to welcome you 5 years later. And you were at that time present for the first time, and I remember the solidarity and your immediate reaction. So, welcome back again.
Merci beaucoup.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky was also in Paris for the reopening and took the opportunity to continue to advocate for U.S. support in his country's war with Russia.
It certainly seems like the world is going a little crazy right now,
yeah.
And we'll be talking about that.
Trump and Macron seated together as the French president noted the symbolism in the rebuilding of this monument.
We have rediscovered what the great nations can do. We can achieve the impossible, and this cathedral is a happy metaphor for what a nation and what the world can be.
Next, the organ was called back to life. Its 8,000 pipes took 6 months to tune, clean, and reassemble. Notre Dame, now restored beyond its previous glory and ready to hold its first mass on Sunday.
10-second trivia. If a butterfly's body temperature is below 86 degrees Fahrenheit, what essential function is it unable to perform? Eating, flying, digesting, or reproducing? Your answer here is flying, which explains why butterflies are always basking in the sun and angling their wings to that warm light. Now to a man who has spent a lot of time watching butterflies warm their wings. A butterfly collector in Nairobi, Kenya, has dedicated so much of his life to finding, preserving, and studying African butterfly species that he's put together the world's largest collection, over 4 million butterflies. He's now looking to find a new home for the collection and a caretaker for decades of his work. CNN's Larry Madowo shows us just how massive this collection is.
There is a leaf, and here are the caterpillars living underneath the leaf. We haven't brought them in. They've come in of their own accord.
Steve Collins has devoted his life to butterflies. His garden in Nairobi is a sanctuary for the insects.
Every day we empty these, and they come in, and we record who's there.
He traps, documents, and then releases butterflies here every day.
Oh, puppy. I'm going to bring this one out because it's beautiful.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
This is the white-banded emperor. There she is with her tongue feeding on my finger.
But it is Collins's collection of preserved butterflies which is most remarkable.
This is massive.
Yes. It's the biggest collection of African butterflies in the world.
In total, Collins has over 4 million specimens from across Africa, including 1.2 million pinned in cases like these.
This is a very expensive hobby. Yes.
Now in his 70s and running out of space and money to maintain the collection, he is trying to find it a new home.
What do you want to do with this entire collection?
Ultimately, it needs to be available for scientists.
This is probably the world's largest private collection of butterflies. It's several decades worth of work across Africa. So who would pay for something like this? And how much would it even cost? It's not that simple.
Collins is hoping a wealthy philanthropist might step in, but he has so far struggled to find a buyer, in part because he wants to keep it as a whole.
It would be a pity to break this up when it's such an entity and it's 30 or 40 people's life's work, and it needs to be tied to a university rather than a museum.
Back outside, I get a glimpse into how much work has gone into each and every one of these specimens.
Yes! Nailed it.
Well done.
I'm becoming good at this. This is a beautiful one.
Yes, a beautiful one.
How do I hold it? Do I just...
You can just hold it like this or in the head.
Collins' assistant, Edgar Emojong, walks me through the pinning process.
So you're killing the butterfly right now?
Yeah, now. Now this one is dead already.
Oh, that was fast.
It's clearly painstaking work.
So you have to be gentle not to break the wing.
Yeah.
Collins thinks his most valuable butterfly is worth $8,000.
Where is it?
I won't show you because, you know what? Of course, if somebody says that, oh, well, that's worth $8,000, so it disappears.
This looks like a full-time gig.
Well, it's got out of hand. You could say it's an obsession.
The future of this vast trove for scientific research hangs in the balance. Without a buyer, it could all go to waste.
Today's store getting a 10 out of 10 might spark some new year mochavation. Pantone's 2025 color of the year is Mocha Mousse. The color matching system company says the color is an exquisite brown that radiates a quiet elegance. Every year since 1999, Pantone sparks conversation about color and culture by selecting a color to define the following year. Mocha Mousse is getting brownie points from some, while others think it's a little sad beige. It's given some Wendy's Frosty vibes to me. What say you? It's time for our shout out now, our favorite part of the day. This one's going to those cults at Station Middle School in Barrington, Illinois. We see you. Thank you for the love. Thanks for watching the show. Vincent van Gogh once said, "Great things are not done by impulse, but by a series of small things brought together." So let's go take on all those small things this week will bring and turn them into something great. I'll see you right back here tomorrow on Koi Wire, and we are CNN 10.